Hello, and welcome to the AI Business Podcast, in which we talk to industry leaders about how their businesses are using AI now and how they see the new tech evolving in the future. So for our very first episode, we were lucky enough to talk to Mishkon de Reyes Chief Strategy Officer, Nick West, and we discussed how AI is being used in the legal sector today and how they plan to use it in the future. So without further ado, please enjoy the interview.
We're here with Nick West, who works for Mishkon de Reyes and will be talking at the AI Summit this year. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, thanks. Really well.
So I wanted to first just discuss with you, how is Mishkon de Reyes involved in the AI space?
So Mishkon de Reyes is a law firm.
Yeah.
We've seen over the past couple of years a bit of a spike in interest or a growth in interest in the intersection of AI and law. And we've made it our business to be at the front end of that. Part of that is driven by big macro ideas. The technology is changing the world around us. The legal industry is clearly not immune to that, although it perhaps might like to think it is, and certainly has probably been that way for the last 20 years. It's been certainly a laggard in tech. But if one really thinks forward as to how the legal industry will look in 10 years' time, it is unthinkable to me that AI won't have had a considerable impact. And you know, we need to be specific. We know what kind of AI we're really talking about. But you know, machine learning will not have had a material impact. So we are we're trying to put ourselves on the front edge of that of those trends, and you know, we can talk in detail about specifics, but that's kind of how we're getting involved. And some of that is there are commercial tools available, and some of that is with an R&D program that we've created effectively.
Yeah. So I mean, you were talking there about the legal industry moving into AI. You wouldn't necessarily think about the legal industry using that sort of technology, and I was just wondering how you think AI will affect your industry going forward. How will it change things?
So a great deal of what lawyers do is interpreting large amounts of information. If you are a transactional lawyer trying to perhaps review a real estate lawyer trying to review a lease or a set of documentation about a property or a shopping center or whatever, or you're a litigator trying to understand your client's position, and you've got a mountain of data to get through to really work that out. The world of natural language processing and machine learning, for those of us that are interested in AI, you clearly make the connection between those two things and think, well, how can those technologies help us interpret that information better, faster, cheaper? A lot of history in the last 20 years with the explosion of data, even in that 20-year period, from what might have been a few copies of letters a few years ago or 20 years ago, when a client came to you and said, "This is the correspondence I've got about the matter," it was a file full of letters. Now it's access to hard drives worth of data, and of course that's only going one direction. That's growing and growing and growing. So the volume of data that a lawyer has to get their head around in order to understand a client's situation is growing, and it's stretching the limits of human capacity to be able to do that. You're simply not able to get enough people, enough bodies in the time available to go through materials if you want to look at all of it. So what happens is people make somewhat arbitrary decisions. Here are 10 properties to look at, but actually these 5 are quite low value, so let's not bother looking at the documentation around it and focus on these 5. Here's 1 million documents created for the litigation, but we know the litigation involves person A and person B as the primary people, so let's only look at the documents relating to them and ignore everybody else.
Yeah.
Those are suboptimal decisions, but people are forced to do it by limits of just being humans and available money. And so you can quite clearly see that if machines can in some way help you sift the data, sift the information, find the nuggets of data in there, that's where part of the story lies. And there are some other bits, but I think that's the key focus for machine learning technology in legal.
I had a small stint working at a law firm proofreading documents.
Did you really?
Yeah. And honestly, I could have. There were times where I was thinking, God, I'd love to have something to help me here, because there's a lot of information to go through, and especially at a law firm, there's a lot of paper still being used. I noticed that. And maybe AI could help in some way. For instance, there's a startup at the moment that's making a machine that can go through loads of documents and put them up on the cloud. So it can take out staples and everything like that and sift through all of that. So that's another form of AI that possibly could help in the legal industry. It's not a sexy looking robot. It's just a great big kind of box of a machine that you just put a bunch of documents in it, and it does the rest for you.
I mean, so there are numerous ways that if we talk about the spectrum of AI technologies, there are numerous things that one could think about. I narrowed into what I think is probably where there's been most focus. But you're right. I mean, I think if we project forward, just 10 years, and we start to think about that, there will be if one is bullish on AI, if one is bullish on machine learning, then there's going to be a whole range of ways that we've yet even to think about that AI will affect legal practice. And that, fundamentally, when you ask me the question, how's Mishcon, what's our attitude towards this? It's sort of twofold. There is stuff already, commercially available tools, where people have either provided technologies such as latent semantic indexing and said these tools can be used in a particular type of activity that lawyers do. So it's in the process of disclosure or discovery where you have to sift through large haystacks of material and find needles. And so let's use these kinds of technologies to group and cluster similar documents to aid that process. And similarly, machine learning technologies that can help extract key data points from documents like leases, as we were talking about before. Those tools exist. They are here. We're still at the early stages of many of them in the commercial sense. But, Mishcon is using those. We're working out where can we use them in the practice that we have currently, and let's get our hands dirty. Let's take licenses to certain of these. Let's create experts in our business, people who are used to or people who understand and invest the time to understand how to use them. And as the technologies evolve over the next months and years, well, hopefully we'll be able to grow expertise with it. And then there's a second track of work, which, as I mentioned, always is about R&D, which is much more about how do we also find the next generation of tools. And so we, earlier this year, launched a thing called MDR Lab, which is an in-house incubator program for legal tech startups. And that's really focused on, it's not AI specific, it's technology. Because as we've been alluding to, lawyers could really do with the technology in a whole bunch of areas. But it's there to find who are the people currently now who've got concepts and ideas that don't even have a commercial product yet, but might do in the next 2 or 3 years. And all of that joined together is how we're participating. I've built relationships with some universities to try to, get access to, that's where the cutting edge thinking happens, and trying to tap into that as much as possible. Again, I keep saying it, I'm really bullish on this. So I think it's a spectrum of activities that we've got to do in order to make sure that we're well equipped for a future that is really hard to predict what it's going to look like.
Would you say that, does that set you apart from your competitors in the legal space? The way that you're kind of, you mentioned that you're quite bullish on AI. Do you think that's something that will set you apart from the others that are using or attempting to use AI at the moment?
It's always really hard. I've learned in my career, you never know really what anyone else is doing, and it's very difficult for me to assess it. Certainly there are other firms who I know are thinking quite thoughtfully, or a handful of other firms that are thinking quite thoughtfully about what do these technologies mean. And there are plenty who are not. There are plenty who are still, head in the sand. What we're doing now is fine, and it'll continue to be, we'll continue to be able to practice law that way for the next 10 years. And I think, to some extent, if one wants to be, bearish on this. You can say, you know, people have been talking for 20 years about the need for law to evolve and for lawyers to become more technologically savvy, and it hasn't really happened. No. So why is this going to be any different?
Yeah.
And then I think there's a, you know, the bullish idea that says, but this time it is different, because I think there is just an explosion. And I think, you know, law firms, therefore, are sort of falling into, you know, one or other camp. And I think a lot of it, law firms are tricky organisms in that they're, most of them are partnerships. And partnerships, therefore, require a high degree of, you know, coordinated action for a group of partners to believe. And with something as tricky as this, to try to predict how involved you have to be in understanding AI, there's a lot of people who just don't believe it, just aren't knowledgeable enough to say we should be heavily, you know, investing in this. I'm very fortunate. I think what sets us apart, or what helps us get into what I think is the sort of the forward thinking group, is the way that our managing partner and our group of partners here are very willing to think differently.
Yeah.
We've always been a firm that's been willing to think a little bit differently about the business of law and the way law is practiced. We've done some things in the past few years that I think many other firms wouldn't have had the appetite to do, and in the way that we run ourselves, in the choices we've made, the strategic decisions we've made. And I think that's really helpful as you're trying to paint a picture that says the future is different. What's been very helpful for me is that the partner group here have been really willing to buy into that and embrace it. Even if individual partners are a bit skeptical or lacking in knowledge, they're still willing to trust in a group of people who are wanting to say, I think there is something in this.
Yeah.
Let's push ahead and invest time and money and resource.
Well, you mentioned there that Mishkan, you take rather bold choices in your cases specifically. And I know one of the cases recently was the Brexit case. And I'm not going to ask you to go into specifics about Brexit. But one interesting idea that's come up recently is that actually with Brexit and also the United Kingdom's, the government's pledge to invest, I think it was £17 million into AI, which actually isn't really that much if you think about it. But do you think the UK could become a kind of hotbed for AI startups?
Yes, there's no reason why we can't be. I mean, it's ultimately, a lot of this is policy decisions, frankly. You know, if you want to be a hotbed for tech, particularly things like AI, right? AI tech is, there's very low barriers to entry. You know, ultimately, you're going in, you're using a bunch of, frankly, almost open source techniques, and you're mashing them together with a deep understanding of the domain, and you're then, you know, you're that's how you begin your business. And so you don't need a great deal of capital. You know, a couple of people who are, you know, engineers can effectively begin a company. So people are, they're going to go where it's most advantageous to be. And so if you want to create an advantageous place to invest, you've got to think about, you know, the tax breaks and others. And I think, you know, so ultimately there's no reason why we can't do it. And it's encouraging to hear the government make the right noises. And what's very encouraging, of course, is that we have some, you know, genuine world-class institutions that, you know, I think those, that combination can be very powerful.
Yeah,
you know, you look at the sort of Cambridge, Oxford, you know, London universities, and I'm probably doing someone a disservice by not including them in the group, but those are world-class universities, world-class research institutions. We've got a really good track record in this country over the past few years of AI startups that have been bought by the big
venture capitalists, and I think Octopus Ventures, for instance,
good example. Yeah. And there are plenty of other business. There are plenty of other funds who have made AI a target area, and if you look, some of the exits that have happened, you know, DeepMind probably
an obvious
example, but there are plenty of them that Google, Facebook, Salesforce, and others have bought that are British AI startups in the past kind of 3 or 4 years. It's evident that we we can be a hotbed for AI talent. Mm. I think the question now, which goes back to the question you asked me, is, you know, can we be the you know, hotbed? Can we be one of the hotbeds for these companies? Well, I think a lot will depend on.
It's a policy issue, isn't it?
I think it is, and encourage you both, you know, creating the environment for your entrepreneurs and making the links between these academic institutions, because that is where the cutting edge thinking happens. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It doesn't, you know, that's what's critical to making this sector hot.
I mean, 2017, you can't go anywhere without seeing the word AI at the moment. And it seems to me as if this is the year where AI is really taking off. How do you see, like, the rate of adoption happening for AI within 2017 and then moving forward into the future?
Generally or
just
legal?
Yeah, well,
in legal?
Actually, legal would be more interesting, I think, than generally.
So, you know, the legal industry pretty much mirrors what you said. You know, these words were not really uttered, or these letters were not really uttered before 2016.
Yeah.
And suddenly 2016, all of a sudden, you had an explosion, which is partly to do with the speed of progress of machine learning algorithms. And some of the, you know, as the world becomes more knowledgeable about the combination of techniques that can suddenly see dramatic improvements in outcomes when you're applying sort of machine learning models. So that has been true in legal. So that has been true that some of the players in the space have been able to demonstrate significantly improved outcomes when applying their models to legal. And so, you know, that was part of the story. But then also, you know, I think it was the combination of that with the story of AI at large. You know, there's only so many times you need to hear about autonomous vehicles or machines understanding X-rays and being able to help predict cancers and so on. There's, you know, there's only so many times you need to understand that before lawyers, of course, start asking, well, I wonder if it could be applied into our space. So, you know, it was hard to make predictions, but, you know, I think you are going to see ever more of the big, ever more firms. Actually, I shouldn't limit it to big firms. Firms are going to pilot, experiment, play around with these technologies increasingly in 2017 and beyond. The tricky thing is, and you know, maybe this goes alludes back to some of the questions you asked earlier. Most of the tools don't do what they advertise.
Yeah.
They do some of what they advertise, and that's the important point. And if that expectation mismatch has the potential to derail everything, because if people believe that the tools replace humans, you know, that's we're into an economics conversation there, which we may or may not want to go to, but it's just not true. You know, what it does is it can augment the human process. It can help people get through that large volume of information better, faster, quicker, you know, do things that they couldn't otherwise have tried to do. But they need really careful management of these tools. You need to really understand what you're doing with them, what you can trust and what you can't trust. And so actually what's actually a much more interesting question is, you know, are we just getting to the top of the hype cycle and suddenly going to see a massive crash in legal, or are there going to be enough people who can say, actually, dampen your expectations, people. Don't, because if we get too exuberant too early, it will all come crashing down. But instead, if we dampen down our expectations and take this steadily, then actually we will see continued growth in the use of these tools and an appropriate rate, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because I think last year a lot of people did use the word hype around AI, and people still are. But with a lot of these, this technology, these new technologies coming in, it's all about managing expectations, and I think that a lot of people are getting quite kind of taken away by it, and maybe that's dangerous for the progress of AI in general.
Yeah, for sure. Because if the more that the conversation is about, you know, humanoids.
Yeah.
There is a really important conversation to be had. It's a different conversation to what extent can, you know, machines help us in everyday tasks right now, and then, you know, coming down even more micro for my world, for what extent can these tools be used in legal. It is a completely different conversation to ethics of AI and off buttons and so on and so forth. And it's you know, they need to be separated, and the And the media reporting on this does not help, because you know, every time you have a conversation, every time legal AI company X announces something, inevitably the presentation of that will allude back to something that says it's going to wipe out hundreds of thousands of lawyers. Yeah. You know, is this the end of lawyers? I mean, these things, we conflate these things. It's really not a helpful kind
of thing. Well, it's a pretty general problem, though, when you talk about AI, is that a lot of people, I mean, I don't know if you saw PwC released a report claiming that millions of people lose their jobs to AI. But what a lot of people didn't do is actually read the report, which I did. And actually within that report, as many people have said as well, is that they say AI will actually also create lots of new professions that we don't know what they will be at the moment. And I mean, a lot of people talk about headcount and how AI is dangerous in that space, but the fact of the matter is we don't really know what's going to happen with the implementation of this new technology. We can't really. People will lose their jobs, but new ones will be created, and I think that's an important thing to say, really, when you're talking about artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and so for the foreseeable future, what we in legal need to focus on and is creating lawyers that understand how to make good use of these technologies. Yeah. Because in the near term, I find it hard to see jobs that are being lost to these technologies in the near term. Yeah. Right? You know, I think what we're able to see is better lawyers who can harness certain powerful tools to, as I've said a few times, do work that wouldn't otherwise have got done, or improve the quality of work, or improve the speed of work. And certainly, you know, the next 2 or 3 years is all, that's the story.
Yeah.
You know, if in 10 years' time we've got something which is, you know, wholesale replacement, maybe not, I don't know. I mean, but that's 10 years' time, and it's so hard to predict. And then I absolutely agree with you, in any case, there'll be different jobs. There'll be jobs, people to teach algorithms how to do the stuff, because ultimately that is... that is the way these tools work. Mm. They need training, and you know, they need supervision in some form.
And people will have to adapt as well. So you're talking about lawyers coming in and knowing or adapting to this new technology, to AI. That will also become vital. Yeah, I think you're right in that. So one last question. I'm asking a lot of people this question is, where do you see your company, SimishCon, in five years' time in relation to the adoption of AI? It's a pretty tough question.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of a thoughtful answer. I would imagine that, again, the AI label is frankly difficult. I would like to think that in 5 years' time, there were a series of things that we currently talk about as AI technology or machine learning tools that were embedded in the day-to-day set of tools that lawyers use throughout this organization. That the kinds of things that a few people use today and are playing with today will be very, very commonplace in 5 years' time, and people will know, when I'm doing this task, I'm going to do it in a machine-aided way, and this piece of technology is going to help me do it better, faster. I think in 5 years that is pretty likely, because we've already got several of those tools being used today by different people, and there are some departments in this organization that have engaged to a greater extent than others. But all of them are aware of it, and all of them are sniffing around in some way. And so 5 years, I really do think we'd be using it. And then, then of course there'll be other things that will come up in that time that will probably, go through the same kind of process of becoming aware of them, starting to work out their applicability into our organization, and then trying to work out what mass adoption looks like. But I am bullish. I'm bullish on this space. I am bullish on machine learning in law. It is the tasks that are being done. You compare what we're talking about throughout most of this conversation to other types of AI tasks. When you're trying to you're trying to get an autonomous driving vehicle, right? On the road, which has got to be, in real time, is interpreting all sorts of stuff and making decisions in, you know, fractions and fractions of seconds. That is a way, you know, ignoring all the social aspects of that. That is a way harder technical challenge than interpreting a set of static data, which is frankly pretty small in, you know, volume in any case. And the challenge in legal is we don't have much training data. Actually, that's really why we haven't necessarily seen much, you know, as much stuff. So the challenge that we face, to adopt these technologies is actually pretty low. It's really these really cultural change barriers more so than tech change barriers. And so for that reason, you know, I am bullish. It's going to happen. And people who don't think it's going to happen, people who don't think that these tools are going to be mainstream in legal for some tasks, then I just think they're wrong.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us, Nick. I'm sure you've got a lot of stuff going on, and it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me. It's very much enjoyed it.
No problem.
We'd like to thank Nick once again for being our very first guest on the AI Business Podcast. And for all other news in artificial intelligence, you can head on over to the website, which is AIbusiness.com. You can also go to our Twitter page, which is business_AI. And also follow us or like us on Facebook, which is Artificial Intelligence in Business. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.